I came up here and see how long my memory is. I look and my sermon's not there and I'm like, ah! Yeah, it's one level down. Friday, I was down at downtown and they were doing, what was the name of the march? Walk of Hope. They're doing the walk around benefiting cancer research and whatnot. And I was bringing up the tail end of that as part of the sheriff's detail to make sure they didn't get run over by somebody coming up behind them. And we were watching, and I don't know if it was one of the TV stations or a newspaper or just some private individual. They had this drone flying, filming things. I don't know if you know what I'm talking about, but this drone is flying, and it's over top of the river right next to the bridge because the march starts right at the bridge. And where they were judging for, like, the spirit contest to see which team did the best was right at the bridge. And so as one team went across there, and I don't know exactly if it was the team that did it or a group or somebody, but somebody released a whole bunch of Mylar balloons, and one of those things went right up, pow, right into the drink. And I'm thinking, somebody just lost several $100s, if not thousands. And I felt sorry for them, I really did, but I still laughed like crazy. It was only like 20 balloons released. It's like, what are the odds that one of those things is going to fly right into that thing? It was just weird. I wish somebody could have had that on film, but it was pretty good. I'm sure that the owner of that was not happy. In fact, I'm sure he probably looked pretty much like the guy on the front of your bulletins. When I was a kid of about 13, do I need to go up or something? I'm booming bad. How's that? Test, better? When I was a kid of about 13, my youth minister said something to me that I thought was really cool. It wasn't just to me, it was to a group of us boys. There was several boys in our youth group that would hang out with the youth minister, like in the summers, when our parents wanted to get rid of us, and he'd come over and we'd go do things together. Just not any organized, just go out and spend time, and it was a good thing. But one day, we were with him, and my youth minister, he was pretty fresh out of Bible college, and he did not go to Bible college to be a preacher. Okay, he went to Bible college to go to Bible college and became a youth minister, and that's what he liked to do. He liked to work with kids, and he had to preach, I think, like just the previous Sunday. He had to fill in for the preacher while the preacher was out of town or whatever, and he did not really like to preach. And we're together as a group talking and just hanging out and doing stuff, and I don't know who it was, but one of the boys let slip a bad word. And you know, when you're 13, you think that when you do that and you're in front of the youth minister, that is the end of the world. Because you figure, my parents are going to hear, and you know, I know it wasn't me, I'm sure. But it was kind of a bad thing. And my youth minister said this crazy thing. He said, you know, the next time I have to preach, he said, I think I'm going to get up in the pulpit and just wait till everybody gets quiet, and then I'm going to say the S word. And we were like, how could he say that? Now, me, I don't know why I was this advanced in my thinking, but I had been raised in this church from the time I was, you know, like 2 years old. And I remember thinking, well, that'll be the last time you preach. And he went on to explain something to us which was probably not the smartest thing to do with a group of 13-year-old boys. But he was trying to explain to us that what society generally considers curse words, the Bible has nothing really to say about specifically, like the S word. He was saying what he was trying to tell us was that the bad things to say was especially to take the Lord's name in vain. And he went on to try to teach us a lesson on this. But I'm telling you something, it probably wasn't a very smart thing of him. Because he's working with a bunch of 13-year-old boys here, and, you know, thinking back, I remember that there was more to it. But I know for a fact that I went away from that afternoon having heard only one thing. The youth minister said it's okay to say the S word. Because that's all that really sank in. So while he may have had a few things technically correct, probably not the best. See, I hung out with a pretty rough crowd. After fourth grade, they closed the school that was two blocks from my house. It was an elementary school and a junior high, and probably one of the reasons my mom bought the house where she did is because the school was right there. And after fourth grade, they closed that, and they bussed me almost 2 miles away, actually it was a little over 2 miles away, to an elementary school in the worst section of town. Now, I'm not exaggerating when I tell you that I hung out with rough kids, all right? I am telling you the truth when I say I knew fifth graders who always had a pack of smokes on them. I knew fifth graders who had been drunk several times. These are the guys I'm hanging out with. So, you know, when I went to the Army, and you hear the language in the Army, it was no big deal to me. It wasn't the first time I'd heard. You know what's funny? I'll tell you, I go out with the Sheriff's Department, and I do ride-alongs with the full-time deputies, where I just join them on patrol, and we go out together. And most of the full-time deputies, they don't really know me yet because I haven't been doing the ride-alongs very much yet. But I get in with them, and we spend, you know, several hours working together. And usually, about an hour in, they're like, "So, what do you do full-time?" And I say, "Well, I'm a preacher." And all of a sudden, they're like, because they know all the things they've been saying for the last hour. And then when one slips after that, they're like, "Oh, I'm sorry, Pastor." I'm like, "Did it somehow change because you found out that I preach for a living?" Now, there is something to be said about coarse language, and we're going to talk about that. But it's strange how people think that it's somehow a bad thing to use that language when a preacher's in the car, when it's a fine thing to use that language when somebody they have no idea what they do is sitting next to them in the car. I'll tell you something, though, and this is no joke. I thought I'd heard rough language in the Army. Then I went to work at a school bus garage. And those women who drive those school buses could make a sailor blush. I just stayed out of the break room most of the time. There are a few things, as we get into this, that I want you to not misunderstand. That's a double negative, it's probably not correct. There are things I want you to understand, and I don't want you to misunderstand them. First off, I want you to know that my youth minister was right. The worst things that we can say, as far as foul language goes, is to use the Lord's name in vain. This is kind of curious to me because even with people who regularly go to church, it's usually the most acceptable cussing that goes on. I have heard people who would be aghast to use the S word or the F word, take the Lord's name in vain multiple times in 1 minute, and think nothing of it. But God makes it clear to us that this is not acceptable to Him. It is one of the big 10, right up there with murder and adultery. Let that sink in for a minute. God is so purposeful about us not taking His name in vain that he lists it with adultery and murder as one of the top 10 things he doesn't want us doing. Exodus chapter 20, verse 7. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. For the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. He thought this was so important, he didn't just list it once, he listed it twice, verbatim, repeated in Leviticus. And he reiterated it slightly differently, again a third time in the Old Testament. God doesn't want us using his name as a curse word. He's really clear on this. Don't use my name profanely. Yet it is so common as to not even be considered a cuss word by the majority of our culture, including a lot of people who regularly go to church. And you might be thinking, well, I don't do that. I say gosh. Yeah. Well, that is definitely a step in the right direction that we don't do that. But let me ask you something. If you're on Facebook or texting and you write OMG, do you think your non-church friends think you're saying gosh? Without equivocation, I will say that taking the Lord's name in vain is by far the worst thing that can come out of your mouth. The Jews thought it so important that they would not even utter the name Yahweh, even when they were talking about him as I just did in church. When they were worshiping, they wouldn't say the name. When the scribes in Qumran, the people who wrote the Dead Sea Scrolls, when they would come to the point where they're copying the text of the Old Testament and they needed to write the name of God, it was so holy and so sacred to them that before they would even write the name, they would put down their writing implement and they would go and ceremonially cleanse themselves in a washing. Then they would come back, pick up their whatever it is they wrote with, write the name of God, and then, so as not to muddle his name with common words, they would put their item down, their writing implement down again, and again go and wash themselves, so as to keep the name of God holy. That's how important it was to them. I'm not advocating for this kind of legalism. But there is, if there's one thing, if you miss everything else, if you're texting a friend or falling asleep or just kind of zoning out today, if there's only one thing that you take from this sermon, I would have it be that you remove the use of the name of God from your vocabulary unless it is being used with reverence. Secondly, my youth minister was right in that many of the words that we use today and think of as foul language are absolutely have nothing to do with the Bible. They're simply culturally frowned upon as bad words. In the older English, the word, and I'm going to spell it out so as not to offend as much, S-H-Y-T-E, was simply the word for cow dung. And there was nothing foul about it other than its smell. When the Normans from France conquered Britain, they brought with them some of the French language and culture. The old French word, which I know I'm not going to say it right, but it's manoeuvre, which literally meant to cultivate the land. And we have morphed that word into manure, which is a French word. It was considered much more refined and dignified. And thus it is what more refined and dignified people would use. And only less cultured people and crude people would use the S word. It was considered profane and undignified. And it would only be used by coarse, uneducated people. And that's where that difference actually came in. Those are the ways in which my youth minister was technically correct. But really, I exceptionally do not want you to walk away from here thinking what I thought when I was 13. That the preacher said that it was fine to cuss so long as you don't take the Lord's name in vain. Because here is how my youth minister was wrong. We should be more dignified and refined in how we use our tongues. Have you ever seen those pictures on Facebook or other social media? And don't get me wrong, I'm going to explain myself in a minute, but they'll have those pictures of the guy who's got like 100 different piercings and tattoos all over his face and the gauged things in his nostrils, and some of them will even have the fake implanted horns that are underneath their skin sticking out. And they say something along the lines of, describe this person in one word. Do you know what I'm talking about? Have you seen those types of things? I don't want to judge a person because the photo doesn't tell us anything other than what his preferences are in decoration. It could be a guy who has a master's degree in engineering and is the nicest person you ever met. But when I see those pictures, what pops into my mind is the one word that comes up is unemployed. Because in our culture, in our society, with our societal norms, most people are not going to hire someone like that because he doesn't fit in with the cultural norms of what a dignified, nice person is supposed to be like. Right or wrong, that's the cultural norms that we have. And when people are using what our culture considers foul, profane, vulgar language, it is exactly the same. It is not something that our culture accepts from someone they consider as dignified or refined. And quite frankly, a lot of the words that our culture considers profane, it does because they are vulgar. They are words that are used in reference to either disgusting things or sexual lewdness. And they are not things that someone who has their minds set on better things would be expected to be using. Our society considers it coarse and vulgar. And it would not associate in any way, shape, or form, whether it's people sitting next to you in the pew or someone who hasn't ever been in a church, they do not associate speaking in those ways with someone who is following Christ. Why do you think that people that I meet and talk with who maybe never go to church feel as though they've done something wrong now when they find out that I'm a preacher and they've been using that language in front of me? Because that language is not associated with someone who honors God. There's also another thing. Most of us, on the occasions that we do slip and use those, it's usually when we are angry or upset. In which case, they are a way of losing control of ourselves and our tongues. And God tells us that not controlling our tongue is not a good thing. James chapter 1, verse 26 says, if anyone thinks he is religious but does not bridle his tongue but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. Now, I'll tell you something. I like to work on cars. I also hate to work on cars. I like to work on cars when it's something I can just go out and do as a hobby type thing. I hate working on cars when something is broken, it needs to be used in a few hours, and it's rusty and doesn't want to get fixed right. Those things are annoying to me. 2 years ago, I had a car break because it was old, rusty, and falling apart. And I did something not real smart. They teach you not to do this, but it usually works, and so I was doing it anyway. I was using what they call a cheater bar. And if you worked on cars, you know what I'm talking about. It's when you've got your breaker bar already on the socket, on the bolt you're trying to break loose, and it's not enough. So you stick a pipe over the end of that to give you more leverage. And 2 years ago I was doing that, and I wasn't too bright about it, and it slipped, and I smashed my thumb, and I broke that thing. And I am pleased to tell you that the only thing that came out of my mouth when I broke my thumb was... I'm not saying that I always have control of my tongue, because I don't. I try, and sometimes I succeed, and sometimes I fail. But when we don't even try to control our tongues, we are not in line with what Christ has said for us. Another way in which it's really not behavior acceptable for a Christian is when we use language which is coarse, sexually suggestive. Even in a joke? Yes. Not only even in a joke, perhaps especially in a joke. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 3 through 5 says, "But sexual immorality and all impurity or covetousness must not even be named among you as is proper among saints. Let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place. But instead, let there be thanksgiving. For you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure, who is covetous, that is, an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God." God wants us to remove that kind of talk from our mouths and from our minds. People get to running their mouths in coarse ways, and they say perverted things, and they think that that's okay, but really, God does not think that that's okay. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 13 says, "The fear of the Lord is the hatred of evil. Pride and arrogance and the way of evil and perverted speech I hate." Another way in which using profane speech is not acceptable is when we're talking ill of someone else. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm here to tell you that this is even worse than saying cuss word. But when we speak ill of someone and tear them down, it's simply not something that God will accept. It's not something that He wants to have from us. And He tells us that we will be held accountable for those things. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 13 says, "Besides that," this is part of a larger section, "besides that, they learn to be idlers, going about from house to house. And not only idlers, but also gossips and busybodies, saying what they should not." Shy of using the name of the Lord in vain, I would say that gossip and speaking ill of people is the worst thing that we do. And it destroys churches and it destroys people. And I can I can guarantee you that everyone in this room has participated in this at one time or another, and it's something that we have to stop doing. Using our tongues to tear other people down is not a good thing. And I would say that, you know what? If there's a guy in a church who's an old farmer, and, you know, I mean, just picture the stereotypical old farmer. He's got his knee-high rubber boots covered in that stuff that we said you shouldn't say. He's got his bib overalls on and a dip in and spit coming down the side of his mouth, and he's unshaven and got a trucker baseball cap on, and he's saying all the different words that we say we're not supposed to say. And then you've got somebody who looks nice, who uses the right words, who does the right things, but they're using their mouth to gossip and tear people down. I'd say the foul-mouthed farmer is probably the better of the two. And I'm not putting myself above anybody. I'm not in any way, shape, or form saying that I'm guiltless of any of this. Another way in which using profane speech is not acceptable is when, I'm sorry, I lost my place and I went back. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 13 says, besides that, I'm sorry again. I get walking around, I get off topic or off script, and I'm lost. Matthew chapter 12, verse 34 through 37. You brood of vipers, how can you speak good when you are evil? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good person out of his good treasure brings forth good, and the evil person out of his evil treasure brings forth evil. I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give an account for every careless word they speak. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. When someone is angry at another person, and they throw out the GD term, I would say that that is triply bad. First, we're using the Lord's name in vain. Second, we are cursing someone else where God has forbidden it. And thirdly, we're being very, very cavalier with something as deadly serious as damnation. James chapter 3, verses 7 through 12 says, for every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature, can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh water and salt water? Can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olives, or a grapevine produce figs? Neither can a salt pond yield fresh water. Our mouths are what we control them to be. And we can't say that our mouths are good and praise God while at the same time using them for profane and vulgar purposes against our fellow man. Lastly, and this is part of what I've just talked about, a Christian really has no business using foul language, even if it were not crude, vulgar, or sexually suggestive, because we are called to be different and separate from the foulness of the world. We are called to be recognizable as different from those who do not know Christ. And a good aspect of that is to try to remove foul things from not only our vocabulary, but from our way of thinking, so that we can be transformed to do something better. Romans 12:2 says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29 says, let no corrupt talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. Philippians 4:8 Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Am I telling you that if you smack your hammer, smack your hammer? Wow. Am I telling you that if you smack your thumb with a hammer and something less than wonderful comes out of your mouth that you're going to hell? Absolutely not. Am I telling you that you should strive, that we should try and continue to try to have all of ourselves, including our tongue, transformed to something better? Yes. Is using the S word a sin? I mean, the S word we've discussed is not even in the Bible. Quite possibly, just because of its general use in society. But I think even more than saying sorry to God if it slips out because it's a bad word, we should be worried about apologizing to God for not being a good representative for Him to those who do not know Him and are perishing in this world. The Bible says that we will be held to account for every careless word. But Scripture also tells us that we are forgiven in Christ. So, is it a bad thing to use foul language? Yes, it is. Nobody walks out of here and says, well, Kevin, the preacher said the S word's not bad, because that's not what I said. Let me ask you this question. Let's say I'm doing that riding along with those deputies, and I'm the one using the foul language. And an hour into the conversation, they say, so what do you do? And then I say, well, I'm a preacher. Has the name of God been lifted up or been cut down? It's been cut down. It has been brought down in the eyes of that person. Forgiveness is for all. And some, you know, you can argue with me, somebody might come up to me afterwards and say, well, that's you know, that's being legalistic. You're splitting hairs. I think God would have it that we try to master our tongues and have that everything come out of our mouth be something that would build people up and help those who do not know Christ or who are immature in Christ to have God in higher regard, not less. And as I said, if you take nothing else from this sermon, it is that the use of God's name should be only done in high reverence and never ever as profanity or vulgarity. And you know what? There's people out there who have never heard the name of Jesus Christ except as a swear word. And we need to be bringing His name to them as the way to eternal life. Please stand as we sing.